just have one word. Wow. Look with me at Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Now, I don't know how many of you are 20 and younger, but bear with me, I'm going to be speaking to the 20 and younger, but everybody. As you know, Mary, some say she was 16 when she had Christ, gave birth to the Lord Jesus. But I'm 47 of chapter 1 of Luke. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. I don't know where you are in your walk with God, where some of you mothers are in your spiritual lives. This is a teenager. You can go back to your teens, all of us. Where were we as believers, if you were a believer as a teenager? Now, something magnificent happened to Mary. There were many young women in Mary's period of life who were looking for the Messiah, hoping that they would be the chosen virgin to bring forth the Christ child. Mary was chosen. Wonderful things happened. Magnificent experiences. Now, some of you mothers may not have those magnificent experiences, a visit of angels, or some pronouncement. But I want to ask you a question. I want to ask us all a question. When do we start praising God? Things happen in our lives, and we'll say, "Thank you, Lord." Things happen to Mary, and she gives us one of the most beautiful songs in Scripture. Where did that come from? Did it automatically just flow out of her? She, like many of the other young women of her day, who were faithful believers in the Scriptures, memorized Scripture, enjoyed Scripture, enjoyed their walk with God. When something happens to you today, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, is it common that you say a worshipful word that has meaning to Almighty God? Now, we men have a responsibility in the local church to worship audibly. I'm sure there are mothers here whose sons participate in this worship. But there are women in this meeting who probably could outdo many of the men who are struggling to put two sentences together. Now, this teenager worships with a sense of maturity that is breathtaking. For that to happen, for us to worship as we ought. We have to have some knowledge of God Himself, of His revelation, of His plan for us, of His church. She had a knowledge of Israel. She had a knowledge of God. She had a knowledge of herself. Unfortunately, today there's difficulties to pay attention to God because there's so much of this. How much time we spend in talking about ourselves. I just brushed my teeth. My elbow hurts. I didn't swallow well. My right eye didn't open this morning. I bumped into the post. The car is with the garage. I dive into the garage. What is all of that? Oh, I forgot to tell you 2 minutes ago, I took 46 breaths. All those details. We have time for that. I was preaching in a certain assembly. Telephone rings. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Woman runs out. Runs back in. 10 minutes later. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Runs up. Four times. Oh, I was happy. Oh, I was happy. You know, I had one person in my mind. I went to her. What was that all about? I have to be in contact with my children constantly. Do it at home. Why don't you stay home? You're not, Bob, you can't say that. I did say it. We're distracted. For Mary to pray this prayer, this teenager who's going to give birth to the Savior of the world, she's beside herself. Remember when Jesus came, John 21, to the shore, and Peter and John were in the boat and they were fishing off the shore. And they're standing there and they're looking on the shore and they see this man at the shore. And John says to Peter, it's the Lord. What did Peter do? He jumped out of the boat into the water, took his clothes, put his clothes on, jumped into the water. When is the last time you as a believer were so excited about praising God that you were beside yourself in praise? Words are beautiful. It's the fruit of our lips. Ron just sang two songs. Wow. They're beautiful. But he had training. He worked hard at it. He loves the Lord. It all came out in the songs. What's wrong with us? Mothers, do your children hear you pray? Do they hear you praise? Do you pray and praise with your children? My mother was an alcoholic. I knew she drank. She never was coherent. She stumbled and fell everywhere. I'm 5, 6 years old. That's the only kind of mother I knew. What we do affects our families. My mother and father fought. I saw my mother hit my father, knock him out. I saw my father hit my mother and knock her out. I saw as a kid until they came to know Christ as their Savior. We're influenced by body language, by words, by expressions. I'm not going to analyze the prayer of Mary. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. How would you pray? How do you pray? Some of you use quite a bit of scripture in your prayers. Some of you use hymns in your prayers. But is it normal conversation, maybe with your husband, maybe all alone, maybe with your kids, but maybe alone, where you have something valuable to say to the God you love in words that you have selected and chosen? Do you ever think about this when you're talking to God? I want to be on my very best. I want to use the best grammar I know. I tell young men who read the scriptures, by the way, the scriptures were read very well this morning. And I'd like the scriptures read, this passage read. And so they put a young man up there training him, and he gets up there, and he can't even read the. And it's horrible. We're reading the scriptures, the diction, the pronunciation, the imagine, it's all gone. Okay, did I do a good job? It did nothing. Read that prayer, Mary. Now go to chapter 2 of Luke. Verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the which had been told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at all the things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary's listening to all of this. Her son's a little older. Mary had wonderful experiences. I don't know what you would do if you've met an angel in your life, whether you'd keep it to yourself. But it would do something to you. I mean, I actually saw an angel. Mary saw an angel. Mary heard the voice of God. She could have been very filled up with herself. In the memorial service for our brother Arthur yesterday, there were people there who were very filled up with themselves. The funny thing happened. Bill read Al's message, and I read my poem. And a man came up to us afterwards and said, those are the only two meaningful words I heard today. All the rest were empty words. Wow. What a testimony for the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ at that meeting. Now, it's a lot is going on, and you as mothers, maybe there's a lot going on in your lives. Maybe some of you talk your way through difficulties. Maybe some of you want to be in control of the difficulties, control of the family. Look at Mary. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. One writer, and I didn't like what he said. She didn't know enough, so she kept it quiet. Come on, give me a break. teenager. Know when not to say anything. Silence is not a weakness. Silence can be a great strength for mothers. That woman who telephoned, she had to be in contact with children, giving them advice. They can't do anything on their own. It's not easy. We know. We had four kids. We know what the problems can be, even for the grandchildren. You got to be careful. Well, this is a wonderful teenager. She has a lot of insight. So much so that when Luke wrote this book and had all of his detailed evidence and the witnesses, he wanted to make known this very important point about this wonderful, magnificent, blessed woman. She kept all things and pondered them in her heart. Now, those are the good things about Mary. But she's getting older. I'll say, just for the sake of argument, she's 18 years old. There are some who believe she was 13, but just for the sake of this message. Now she's 30, 12 years later. Turn your page in your Bible to chapter 2 and verse 41. They go to Jerusalem. Every year there are three pilgrimages for the three feasts required by the faithful Jew to worship in Jerusalem. And the Passover was one of these three feasts. Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Lights. She did that with her family, with her husband, with her firstborn, and she's quick. He has four other sons and some daughters. Family's growing. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Now, a lot is going on. This has never happened before. Whenever they left, everybody was there. Jesus was with them. They went back together. Everything was just wonderful. But it's not going to be always so smooth in our relationships and what happens and now how we're going to react to our children, to our grandchildren. Ron has an interesting story about that, but when his oldest son was engaged. Do you mind if I tell this story? And they come to the house, and Eli had bought a harpsichord, and the girl he would like to marry is very musical. She speaks Swedish, and she's Congolese, and very lovely person. Well, the two of them fell in love working together in the Lord's work. So they come to the house, and Ron says, he's sitting there and everything is fine. I bought her a harpsichord. Oh, this is lovely. Wow, lovely. Well, the harpsichord replaced the ring. So he proposes to this girl and puts it on Facebook and finds out that Eli's engaged through Facebook. What is that? Now, we as parents, we want to be attentive to everything, but some things escape us. We miss. Can you imagine going to the mall with three of your kids, come home and you only have two? Where's the other one? We used to camp and we had a tent. It had three sides and there were beds on the three sides. And one day we get up and we're going everywhere. Ronnie was, I forgot how old he was, 8 years old. And where's Ron? Look, where's Ron? Well, he slipped off and it was like a hammock and was in the back, lying in part of the tent like a hammock, lying back there sleeping. It wasn't nice and it wasn't hurt. We thought we lost him. You're not always in command of the situation. And when they had finished, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. Have you seen Jesus? No, he's not with me. Have you seen our son, Jesus? You know, our son. He's gone. We can't find him. What kind of parents are they? Don't even know where their son is. Now, Mary's about 30 years old now. So when they did find him, so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. He's somewhere in Jerusalem. Now, I said some wonderful things about Mary, and forgive me if I'm going to say something a little bit differently. She's a good mother. She praises God. Now, in my reading of this text, I just say to myself, well, if they're going back to Jerusalem, wouldn't they go to the temple first? Maybe not. Maybe Jesus didn't show too much of his divine character. He's a very human boy. And they go and they look. So it was that after 3 days, they looked everywhere they thought he might be. Now, if you went to a fair and you happened to miss, place your child, you'd probably look in the galleries, there's rides, animals are, I don't know where you'd look. But I'm sure you wouldn't go into a little chapel and you'd go to the chapel place. But Jesus is a different person. They didn't grasp that. He was different. Yes, he did things. He was obedient. He's a good boy. It says in the scripture he grew up in wisdom and people liked him. And that's great. But it took them 3 days. Finally, to look at the temple. And there he is sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to him and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. I want to pause a moment. Sometimes some of our children are beyond us. Beyond us, maybe even in their appreciation of God. We don't always recognize that. And Jesus wanted to be where his Father was honored, where Yahweh was honored. So something of his humanity, he knew that Mary and Joseph were considered his parents. but they didn't get it. And I'm just suggesting here, as a parent, as you grow up in your faith, be careful. Be careful that you remain a sensitive believer, one who is growing in faith, in knowledge of God. So if one of your children shows an exceptional perception of the things of God, don't be offended. Don't get upset. Jimmy, what do you think correcting me about John 3:16? What do you know about John 3:16? You don't do that. There's a little boy here. Which little boy it was, I don't know. I was getting up from my seat and he looked me right in the eye and he said, "We're here to worship Jesus, aren't we?" Little boy, just happened 10 minutes ago. I looked at him and I said, "Yes, Jesus is here." Oh, I don't know whose kid that was, but whoever the parents are, praise God for you. I like that. That was beautiful. It floored me. I mean, I meet adults, "How you doing, Bob? Yeah. Oh, you, Brewer's going to win?" You know, the boy brought my attention back, and he had a big smile on his face. Now, bear with me. So when they saw him, Mary and Martha were amazed. They must have heard some of the things that were going on. And the answers that Jesus was giving these scribes, these profound thinkers who were honoring his father. But Mary confronts Jesus. She confronts Jesus. She's the mother. She has a right now. Something terrible has happened. "Son, why have you done this to us? Don't you realize what you did? We were so anxious. We left here. You wandered away from us. I don't know if you were," she's not saying this, but I'm just filling in, "I don't know where you were hiding and what you were doing. You've done this to us." Or it overlooked the fact that he is discussing spiritual matters with these deep thinkers. Overlook that. "Why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." We're upset. "We care for you. You should have been with us. What's the matter? Why did you do this? Give us an answer. We want to know." Twelve-year-old boy. A woman that knows how to praise God. A man and a wife who are faithful Israelites and go to the feasts every year. We're dealing here with spiritually minded people. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Even at 12, the Lord Jesus is a teacher. Mary, Joseph, have already had wonderful experiences with God and with angels. Mary was told that the child that she would bring into the world would be Jesus, the Savior of his people. But sometimes knowledge doesn't always pay off. They're emotional people. We are emotional people. They were anxious. They were offended. The next expression deeply concerns me. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. What? Eighteen years go by. Now we'll go to the passage that was read. John's Gospel, chapter 2. Mary is getting to be 50. The scholars believe that Joseph died. Joseph is no longer around. We get that from the end of the Gospel, where Jesus, as one of the brothers said in the breaking of bread, committed his mother to John to take care of her. I don't know why her other sons weren't available to do that, but John took on that responsibility. Now I'm going to suggest that something wonderful happens in this marriage feast of Canaan. Something wonderful happens to Mary. Remember I said she confronted her son and she was in a state of confusion 18 years before that. She didn't understand what her 12-year-old son said when he said, I must be about my father's business. So there's a wedding and Jesus' mother was there. I agree with those who say she had some responsibility in this wedding. And it's a big wedding. And it's Jesus and his disciples were there. So Jesus, Mary knows Jesus is now in a ministry and he has disciples. He's not at home with his mother. Does she understand? Does she grasp the plan of God as yet? Well, a very serious thing happens. They run out of wine. And they could be taken to court. The bride and groom could be taken to court because this was a very serious matter. If they run out of wine at such a big wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. From Jesus' response, I'm going to say some things and I can't be dogmatic about this. I made a mistake when he was 12 years old. I didn't realize the plan of God in his life. And I want him to manifest himself. I want him to show everyone who he really is. This is my son, but he's Jesus, the Son of God. His brothers wanted him to do that too, but I want him to get the glory now. This is the way I see it. They've run out of wine. He can fix that. So she goes to her son. They've run out of wine. Now, Jesus never calls his mother, mother. He calls her woman. It's a very wonderful, warm, gracious term. Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? Oh, yes. What have you done to us? You left us, we left, and we couldn't find. What have you done to us? I did it again. I have this concern. I know what it's going to mean to this couple. And I know that my son can, he can do it and he'll get the... My hour has not yet come. Now here's this for me. This is a moment of epiphany for Mary. Right. You're in control. I'm going to step back here. She goes to the servants. That's why I say she had something to do with this. She was known. She had something to do. And she says to the servants, whatever my son, no, she doesn't say that. It finally dawns on this wonderful woman of God. He is Lord. I must follow him. Whatever he says to do, do it. And I believe at that moment, this mother became his disciple. Look at the end of the chapter. Verse 12, at the end of the passage, verse 12. After he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples followed the Lord Jesus. If your family, dear mothers, if your families are going to count for God, don't demand, don't confront. But let Jesus Christ be Lord of your family and follow him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the examples of godly people in Scripture who are human and come to realizations over periods of years. And sometimes it takes middle life for some of us to open our eyes and see the value of Jesus Christ as leader. Speak to our hearts. And if there's a mother here today who has never, ever trusted in the Lord Jesus as her personal Savior, help her to do that today and to realize that Christ died on the cross for her sins. He was buried and rose again the third day for her sins, that she might be set free and find happiness and peace in believing. We seek your blessing upon us all. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.